Holy moly, I've got a very important message from Zane Shaw. He's got a podcast. You're listening to Save Your Bacon with Zane Shaw and Will Palumbo. Don't lose your bacon. Get Zane and Will shaken.
You know, I spilled water on the ground, which isn't a big deal because I have carpet.
Yeah.
But now it's like my natural resting place for my feet just falls right on wet carpet.
Now you get a nice little puddle to stand in as you do the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm technically standing in it because that's where my feet land, but I definitely don't stand while I record. That sounds like sociopath tendencies. Hey, guys. It's Save Your Bacon, an advice comedy podcast where we think we're helping. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw. I've learned today that you too can podcast well in a puddle. Simply, when it's raining, go outside and stand there for like 5 minutes. And then it's going to feel like your socks are the soggiest thing in the world and your feet are going to feel awful. And it's going to resemble what Will is feeling right now.
I had a great idea. What if we did the podcast, except we're together? You know how I'm like mildly inspired by like a podcast, but outdoors?
Yeah.
What if we did that, but a podcast in the rain? And we like moved to Seattle, and every day it rains, we just hold umbrellas over us, and we do it because I love the sound of rain in the background. And if we were recording background actual rain while doing the podcast, how great would that be?
I'm not gonna lie, background rain, lo-fi music, just chill, relax.
Oh my gosh.
All of a sudden, we become the go-to podcast for coffee shops. Like that is.
We create coffee shop podcasts.
TM. We got to TM it right now.
Yeah, this is trademarked. We have to restart the podcast because we can't let this get out.
No. We have to let it get out with the TM there so people know that we came up with it.
Okay, yeah. And we just never get above this volume. We just always kind of talk like this.
We do.
And it's not ASMR. It's just very chill.
And we talk about the latest indie folk band that we heard and... Yeah, how much we appreciate their EP.
Yeah, somebody hacked my Spotify last week, and they have really good taste in music. I just let it happen. They keep on changing the tunes, but like it's all good. What have you learned about music this week, Zane?
I actually learned that there were like a couple of people from like early days, like Disney and Nickelodeon, that I had no idea made music that make really good music. And I mean, like, you know how I've mentioned this to you before, like early days Demi Lovato making rock music, I very seriously, no joke, really like her voice and really like her music. And it's one of those situations of like these people that you have no idea could sing all of a sudden can, kind of like Timothée Chalamet.
Keep going.
SNL,
you're right, I'm gonna cut you off. Hey guys, so this week I had somebody reach out to me because they heard on recent podcasts that I didn't have kombucha, and so they drove to my house and gave me a kombucha that they picked up from like the from a store that they said was really good, and they wanted me to try and review on the podcast. So here we are. I actually have 5 different types of kombucha in my fridge right now. And since we're doing podcasts more regularly right now, hopefully we'll get to review them all. But today is not Big River Kombucha. Today is organic Brew Doctor Kombucha, their Clear Mind Edition, which is rosemary, mint, sage, and green tea, which sounds amazing.
I have my fingers crossed for you, though, because the last time you went for one that was not Big River Kombucha... My friend,
I knew what I was getting myself into. I've tried that stuff. It's garbage.
But you also, was an unhealthy habit. You did not stop. You didn't like it, and you didn't you didn't quit.
I finished that glass, but I think I still have half of the like the big container of that kombucha still in my fridge. So I guess technically I have 6 right now. Anyways, I'm going to go for this. Let's see.
Okay.
Oh, it's fresh. It's not like other store ones where it's like a very upfront vinegar taste to it. The vinegar mixes very well with what I can clearly taste as the rosemary and the sage. The green tea, I can tell, mixes in with the kombucha. Usually when they put green tea or any sort of tea on the front label, that means that it has a heavier green tea, even though I know that green tea is a part of the kombucha making process off the bat. So it's going to have a stronger green tea flavor and a less of a vinegar taste, which it does. It does that quite well. The mint kind of comes afterwards, and it gives this like fresh taste of like, yeah, I can go another couple days without brushing my teeth. That should be fine. Which I enjoy.
I as well.
Yeah, so I'm going for one more.
Oh, he's going in. He's double dipping.
I mean, I'm going to drink the whole thing by the time this podcast is over for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like you ever smell like really good dog toothpaste and you're like, that. I wish that I could actually try that. My dog when I was growing up. No, do you know what I'm talking about? You've never had dogs. You've never had dogs.
I mean, I have. I just never had the experience of dog toothpaste.
So when I was growing up, I had this little white fluff ball that was like 6 pounds, and we had to brush its teeth every once in a while with like this mint oatmeal toothpaste, and I was like, it smells fine. It smells like really good. I wish I could try it, but I know that I shouldn't. I did eat the Petco cookies every once in a while, though. Just like, anyways.
I'm not judging. I've tried something like that
this
before.
This tastes like if they were to make a dog toothpaste for people. And I say the toothpaste, obviously, because it has the mint flavor in it. But it's like, it tastes like a well-seasoned, it's in between the savory and sweet because it has like the green tea, which has a tiny hint of sweetness to it, and the fact that there obviously is sugar in the kombucha, and then you get like the savory with the rosemary and the sage, and it mixes so well. It complements the vinegar flavor, which is a more like harsh sour up front. I think this is a really fantastic non-local kombucha. Yeah, Zane?
What's the name of this product again? What's the name
this
of the company?
This is Brew Doctor Kombucha. I can't believe I'm giving kombucha such a good review.
Let me do a little,
something that isn't Big River.
Let me do a little ad for them real quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Brew Doctor Kombucha. Dog toothpaste for people.
Yeah. I mean, I know it doesn't sound great calling up dog toothpaste, but it's like, If dog toothpaste was like super good, because I can't be the only person out there who smelled dog toothpaste and said, I really wish there was a socially acceptable way for me to try that and for it to be super good, like guaranteed. This is the way. This is the way to do that.
You know, it's funny actually that you brought out the kombucha, because so you've got your kombucha. Little do people know that I've got my drink of choice, which happens to be Ned Nog.
What?
Oh, Ned Nog. Have you not heard of Ned Nog?
No, tell me about it.
Oh, well, it's simply a new opening bit that's going to be around for a little bit called Ned Nog.
Really quick. Mm-hmm. Can I just say, I give this an 8.5 out of 10. It does a fantastic job mixing savory and sweet, which I like both kinds of kombuchas. It reminds me kind of like a cardamom latte, not by the flavor, but by like what it tries to express between the sweet and savory. That is all. Go ahead, say
with very good. No, I'm very good. You gave me that little tip, because I'm about to give you a tip in Ned Nog, where we combine eggnog with Devin Werkheiser, who I reached out to, aka Ned Bigby from Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. He has very kindly given us a couple of his own life tips from his own survival guide to play as a bit here on the podcast. And Will, I have sent you tip number one. Please, yes, by all means, play it whenever you want.
Okay, I am playing it now.
Zane Shaw, what's up, man? I appreciate your message. I appreciate your energy. I'm going to give you some advice. You will become like who you spend the most time with. So learn to choose your friends wisely, and learn to choose who you spend your time and energy with wisely, and learn to cut toxic people out of your life. This is one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my 20s, is recognize which people you're holding on to that you feel tired after seeing them. You feel exhausted after seeing them. There's no growth in them or your relationship. There's just maybe history and tension and you feeling constricted, right? It's okay to let people go, even if you loved them, even if you love them. You don't have to cut them out of your life with anger or in a punitive way. You don't need to punish them, but learn to value your space Learn to value your time and energy. Learn to choose who you're spending the most time with and watch your life transform, because we can only hold so much attention. We can only hold so much connection. There is a limited amount of that in our lives. We can only give our energy to so many people. So be selective, man. Value yourself.
Wow. This is a wildly wholesome episode so far.
I know. That's going to be...
This is not comedy or advice. Well, no, that is advice. Here, there's the advice from an actual, maybe not expert, because he's just Ned Bigby, but he's still very cool.
From an and-child actor.
He did have the survival guide to middle school?
Yeah, he had the survival guide to middle school, and now he has it to life. And the thing that really kicked me was that when I reached out to him, and he was so genuinely generous enough to come back with what's going to be a couple of recurring bits worth of advice that is genuinely good life advice. And I thought that why not include it in the episode? Because as much comedy as we try and bring to the episode, it's very, very impressive to hear somebody that is of equal age to us, or at least within the same realm of age, and they're giving not just the simple try and smile every day or whatnot, but it's always nice to hear somebody's outside perspective of genuine ways to improve your self-worth and your positivity towards yourself that makes your own life better.
Genuinely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do want to say, if there is, I would be happy to think that there is at least one person who maybe have turned on a comedy advice podcast and got a piece of life advice that may truly help them one way or another in choosing to let go of that person they need to let go of. If it's me, I get it. But hopefully that has made some impact on you as it has on me. Zane, I would like to let you know that I can't do the podcast anymore. It just makes me too tired.
No.
I just need to let go of this. It's toxic.
I appreciate your honesty. And
with
honestly,
that, give me a question.
I was gonna say, and I appreciate that Ned Bigby, of all people, was able to help you come to this conclusion. And honestly, if this is the last episode, I'm glad that's a story I can tell my friends. Like, oh, Ned Bigby broke the podcast. He broke up the band.
That's the title. Ned Bigby broke the podcast.
Ned Bigby was our Yoko Ono. All right, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Afraid to sleep on my arms and hands? I keep falling asleep on my arms and hands. Okay, I'm going to cut you off right now. So you're not afraid to fall asleep on your arms and hands? You keep doing it.
I think we need to keep on going. I think they've grown a fear, probably. Keep going.
I keep falling asleep on my arms and hands. It's 2 a.m. and I can't sleep because I'm afraid of it happening again. When I wake up after having fallen asleep on my arms and hands, I always wake up in a panic that I can no longer use said arm as I can't feel it anymore. Oh. I typically jolt up and flail while begging the ether to bring life back to these disgusting arms.
Oh my god.
What can I do to ensure I never have to worry about my arms while I'm asleep? And that comes from Sleepless in Seattle.
They should write short stories. I'm
they
like
can't,
there.
They can't like use their arms
again. Well, it maybe if the ether gives them life again to those noodles, but
could you imagine like every time that's like I wake up, I got to tell someone, and then you can't pick up the pencil with your arms, you're like, curse this body of mine.
Curse this body of mine. Do you have a preferred sleeping state, Zane?
Yes.
What is your position of sleep?
This is a genuine thing. I have to, or at least consciously have to fall asleep at first on my right side.
Okay.
And I usually, currently I do it while facing the wall. Although I think that in my room, with how much space there is away from the wall, I'd prefer my body to be facing the openness. That being said, I can't fall asleep on my left side in silence, because if I fall asleep on my left side in silence, I immediately go into night terrors.
What do you mean in silence?
If like I don't have a fan running, or if I don't have like some kind of like quiet music or podcast playing, if it's...
Oh, you put podcasts in the background if you're sleeping?
I've done podcasts in the background. I've done lo-fi music. I've done this app called Calm, where it plays nice piano music.
I got a $17 noisemaker off of Amazon, and it plays rain sounds every night, and that is my go-to.
I think we talked about this on an earlier episode, back when I mentioned that when I lived in East Boston, my roommate at the time bought a little noisemaker that all it does is it resembles the sound of like a space heater almost. And you were like, you got a noisemaker that just makes air.
yeah, you got the air version. Yeah, I got it in response to living with three small children who like screaming at all times of day or night, which did wonders. I remember the youngest once asked me, "Why do you need a noisemaker?" And I said, "You're the noisemaker." And that was the whole conversation.
Why do you need a noisemaker? You get down on your hands and knees, you look him right in the eye. It's because of you.
Yeah, that I mean, he didn't get it, but that was what I was saying. I sleep for a very long time. I have slept on my face, no pillow. That is not a joke. On my stomach, on my face, no pillow at all. I actually put the pillow over my head. The pillow is there as like a noise thing barrier to use before I actually fall asleep. But when I actually want to fall asleep, I just kind of burrow underneath the pillow.
I like this. Can you breathe well when you do that?
Yeah, I make sure my nose has a little hole on the side of the blanket that goes over. Anyways, but I realized that it's been hurting my neck a lot. And so I've been forcing myself lately. I double my dose of melatonin and just force myself to sleep on my back staring at the ceiling. And now my neck feels great, honestly, in comparison. So if you're a face sleeper like me, I think it might be destroying your neck slowly. And just being 25, I feel decrepit. So anyways, I think that... Oh, by the way, when I sleep on my face, I brought this up because I sleep on my arms a lot of times, too.
Ah, okay.
And I will find that sometimes I will just wake up and my arms are asleep.
Yeah.
Like, they've been asleep for hours, which is terrifying. And I think maybe that's something that's setting off these. Maybe you didn't say it in the question, but you might be a face sleeper like me, and you might need to force yourself to double your melatonin and sleep on your back in order to get use of your noodles back.
You're going to need to turn your life around, quite literally, to get on your back when you fall asleep.
Or at the very least, 180 in life.
Very least side, because you got small steps, baby steps. You get halfway there. Something. If you were a face sleeper, I guess that very kindly sums up why. If you're like making it a nightly routine that like I'm gonna fall asleep on my arms, then your arms are also gonna fall asleep, because what you have now done is you have invited them to the sleep party, to the
sleepover. They're now part of the sleep. If the arms fall asleep with your head, then yeah, they're obviously going to be there in your dream. Alternately, it could be that maybe there's a spiritual battle going on inside your head that you can't see until you enter the dream state, and you just aren't aware that your arms, in a spiritual sense, are trying to fight off the demons, and they keep on sacrificing their lives for you within the dream state, and you have to buy them back with a piece of your soul each night.
Holy heck, do you have a dream catcher? Buy a dream catcher, bud. Your arms are doing so much work fighting off these spiritual demons.
Because I think, the other thing, if the sleeping on your back doesn't work, a dream catcher to catch the demons might do it.
Yeah, or get something to hang from the ceiling and do something like, you know how like when you're in the hospital and you break your leg and they elevate your leg?
Mm-hmm.
Do that with your
arms. Yeah, I think hang some ropes and then just put your arms up in the air while you sleep.
You just got to put them
through. They might also fall asleep doing that too, though.
Because what... But...
You wake up and your, like, fingertips are black.
So what you need is... So a lot of people, like, if you use that Calm app that I was talking about, you can set it so that after a half hour, it stops playing. So that it's like after a half hour, you're not going to wake up to the noise if you're a light sleeper or something like that. You just need it after a half hour, the rope contraption gives way, and your arms...
Oh, God, your arms just fall on your face. Calmly, though. Calmly. They fall calmly. They slowly, gently put them down into a vampire coffin position, I do sleep like that. Mm-hmm. Now that I sleep on my back, I have a coffin position and I look like a freak. Hey, I'll tell you what.
Hey, dead people sleep fantastically. I haven't heard of one waking up. So, like, they know something.
There's been a couple.
Oh, they weren't in the right position then, huh?
Restless spirits. Yeah, they needed to. They were just restless.
They need a dream catcher in that coffin. That's what's, they do. That's the messed up part.
Or an arm catcher.
If you get a dream catcher when you're in coffin and dead, does dream catcher catch you?
Oh, good question. If you are the ghost, I would think they'd do a good job. I think we're putting a lot of weight also on dream catchers.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Aren't we?
Well, I mean,
they catches demons, catches ghosts. That's a lot for them.
I'm not going to lie. That the last time I used a dream catcher was also the last time that I ever had a nightmare about my worst nightmare. So it worked for me. So.
Oh. Do you use a dream catcher each night?
No, not anymore. Because it caught it. Idiot.
You catch it, you smash the dream catcher so that it smashes the dream and
no,
it never
you don't
comes
smash
back.
It, that releases everything it's caught.
Oh, I did it wrong.
You
didn't
know the first
I have a question
thing about
for
dream
you,
catching
Zane.
101. Ask away.
I have a question for you. Yesterday I was making crafts with a girl that I was babysitting using pipe cleaners. She asked me why they were called pipe cleaners, and I told her it's because they used to clean pipes with them. Later on yesterday, I found her under the sink holding the pipe cleaner up to the pipes, and she said, I don't get it. Honestly, I don't get it either. How on earth did anybody use those tiny pipe cleaners to clean pipes?
God. Oh, no. Okay.
You know?
So is she just like...
Where are we evolved from? Where did we used to be with pipes that those were viable?
So she's... Well, I mean, where did we used to be with medicine where leeches were viable?
They weren't.
Exactly.
But we still call them pipe cleaners. We don't call leeches medicine bugs.
You, baby, you stay out of that water. You're going to get infested with medicine
bugs. You're going to get too many medicine bugs.
You're
going to
come out of that
girl.
Water healthier than ever. I'm going to take you out. I can take you to hospital. that's a good...
Yeah,
good,
we don't consider bloodletting a good medical practice these days.
Pipeletting with pipe cleaners. That's a good...
But actually, I do think that you can get leeches these days for, like it's more of a spa treatment, I think.
It's more like, I guess, is it the same concept as, like, when you get cupping done, maybe?
Maybe.
Which is another weird one.
I know. There was a girl I worked with who came to work wearing, like, a tank top, and she had just been, like, cupped all over her back.
It looks
chest.
Painful. I know that what athletes terrible. Do it a lot, because it's supposed to relieve soreness quicker or something like that.
That's
or,
wild. Yeah.
But it also looks like it's not a fun process.
No, it sounds awful.
That
anyways,
and ice
that's
baths.
Not...
But yeah, you're right.
No, ice baths sound good, but anyways.
There is something to the fact that pipe cleaners... had to, like, so somebody had a pipe, and I'm not gonna lie, the first pipe that I thought of was an organ, and I was like,
okay,
oh, this pipe cleaner,
oh,
like a
oh,
maybe
did it
adjusts
clean out
like
organs?
Tone, like maybe when an
no.
organ no
no if you want to adjust I do know this if you want to adjust the tone of an organ pipe, you basically need like a metal worker.
Oh, well, pipe cleaner's a bad option. That me
yeah,
calling
not
in the pipe,
gonna do it.
Me calling in the pipe cleaner guy to clean my organ. He's like, I'm not gonna say no to the money, but like these pipes ain't fixed. But and then I'm like, okay, I guess it must be for vocal things. So I start jamming a pipe cleaner down my throat.
Yeah, yep, and that hurt. Just a little pokey end. Even if you wrap it around, it still comes back up and scratches. So here's my idea. Is it that a long time ago we had very small pipes, and that evolution of pipes has slowly gotten us wider and wider pipes, and if we look into the future 100 years, our pipes will all be 4 feet wide for our toilet? Or is it that over time we have gotten pipe cleaners to be like victims of shrinkflation? Do you know what shrinkflation is?
No. That sounds
it's the idea
very
that ironic. Yeah, it's the idea that people, like for a cereal box, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a while. I mean, like, this is a true thing. A while back, they had, like, let's say 22-ounce cereal boxes, and they were for $3. And then as inflation went up, they were like, well, we don't want to raise the prices. Instead, we'll reduce the amount of cereal in there, and then we'll just call it the same price. And people will think we never changed their prices, when really they did.
And so we're implying
have that... Have we done that with pipe cleaners? Pipe cleaners used to be pipe size, and they used to be pool noodles, and now we just have, like, arts and crafts pipe cleaners because of just the immense amount of shrinkflation.
Right.
Do I have to get the triple XL jumbo life-size pipe cleaner to get what was a pipe cleaner 200 years ago?
Life-size pipe cleaners.
Yeah. The family-sized. Like,
that's
the king-sized.
That is brilliant. I will say... I did break that rule known as I looked up the answer.
Oh, Zane.
No, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated.
Okay.
So
okay.
You were onto something. They did fit. They were made for the proper size of what they were used for. They were made for smoking pipes.
No.
And that makes sense. That starts to make sense. Because you're like, oh, this actually fits. This fits the bill and I guess gets the job done. And then I start thinking, as time goes on, you're right. When we start cleaning regular pipes, why didn't we adapt? But it's one of those...
Well, I mean, a pipe snake is a thing.
Right? No. Snake. Why didn't we get... No, my question is, why didn't we get big pipe cleaners?
big pipe cleaners.
If they want to stay... If I've learned anything from watching Dragon's Den, if that doesn't tell you I watch more British TV than regular TV, I don't know what else will. If I haven't learned anything from Dragon's Den, is that in order to stay important and well-known in the market, you need to adapt. When you made pipe cleaner and you pitch it, you're like, this billion-dollar industry, and they're like... What's $1 billion? $1 million is pretty big right now because this is the 1800s. Because that's when pipe cleaners were invented. And so you bring up pipe cleaners. You didn't once pitch, hey guys, sink big pipe. We need big pipe cleaner. And someone had to be like, get out of here. No one's ever going to have a pipe that wide and say, it's clogged. So
alternately. If someone has, you know, the didgeridoo-sized weed smoker 5000, how do we get a pipe cleaner that's going to clean that bad boy out?
That's where we're at today.
Less people smoke pipes than they did in the 1800s. I think that we can say is true.
But
how do we get it so that all of our avid 420 lovers can get their pipe cleaners 100 piece for 50 cents at the dollar store as well?
We need a nice Black Friday sale or nice, like, out-of-nowhere bundle. Like, you know when an album drops and then a couple months later or maybe just a month later, you get the deluxe edition of that album. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I already own most of these songs, but if I love the band enough, I am going to buy the deluxe edition. So it's got to be one of those.
Albums?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? I know it's a great way to support artists, but I just feel like it's...
Specifically,
it's not worth it at this point.
It's specifically to support the people I love the most. Like, because I have a record player. I like buying the vinyls of the people that I like the most. Because then that's kind of just like a in-room tone of people that I appreciate. You get the pipe cleaner. All of a sudden, you got to realize that, like, you got bigger pipe, dirty pipe. They, a month later, drop pipe cleaner deluxe edition. And now you're like, well... I mean, like, I do already have a pipe cleaner, and if I work real, real hard, put a lot of elbow grease into it, I can clean the sink pipe. Or I could get what I've already got plus more and really get the job done in that sink with big pipe cleaner, deluxe edition.
Big pipe cleaner. Yeah. Jumbo XL pipe cleaner for pipes. Yep. Drain snake, get out of the way. Zane, do you have a question for us?
I do, and that question comes to you.
Welcome, guys. This is Middle Stuff Express.
Wait a minute. Will, do you hear that? Do you like that not once in any of these episodes I've actually added a sound after I say, do you hear that?
Have you not? I've listened to them. I think you have.
No, not once.
No, you have. You definitely have.
No. Heavens to Etsy. It's time for the show. I've got,
all right.
This is the segment where Zane gives you nice products on Etsy that you can quickly give as Christmas gifts to your friends and family, while also supporting artists and independent store owners on Etsy. And today, our store owner is the Purple Hippie Shop. And why have I done this? Because if there's one thing that I have learned over time, anytime I'm trying to give a gift to people that I know or people that I am acquainted with, one thing that's universal is a good item to give that never fails is like soap or deodorant. Even though you're kind of saying like, hey, you smell bad, a positive way to look at it is, hey, everyone smells bad. I know this is going to help you out because it always helps anybody out.
So for anybody trying to look this up right now, can you help me? Because I'm also trying to look it up.
Yeah. No, it's quite literally.
How do you spell hippie? Is it the Y or is it the I-E?
It's H-I-P-P-Y.
Okay. The purple hippie. And what is it under?
The purple hippie shop. I just know it as, I just have the purple hippie shop. And quite literally, what they make is soaps, which is fantastic. However, they make very good specific soaps. One of their categories. One of their categories is they make specifically body part soaps.
Yep.
And
I found that.
And I mean, like, they make just big toe soap.
I'm looking at nose right now.
There's nose soap. There's ear soap. There is tongue soap. And these are all about $3. So that's cheap clean. Yeah. And I dare I say, they do make the soaps in different colors. So that everybody's welcome, and I have no idea what they smell like, but I've been told that they are a perfect gift for weird friends, because not only is your friend going to appreciate such weird gift, but they are actually going to be able to use it, and that is one of the biggest things to a gift, is get someone something they can use, because you buy me a book on, like, 101 happy facts, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's great, but like, did you have to?
I've gotten those gifts.
Yeah, you don't really have to. You don't want it to be that you're giving a gift for the sake of having to give a gift. You're like, hey, I respect you and appreciate you, therefore here is gift, but also I know this will make some part of your life a little nicer, a little fresher.
Like, yeah, so toothpaste. I'm looking at this right now, and I see a dead fish soap bar.
Yeah.
I see a gun.
Yeah.
But that's then also, novelty. there's really cute ones, like a hedgehog one. It's adorable. There's cactus ones, which are awesome. That is a tongue. And so now we're kind of back on the other train. There's a baby dinosaur in a coffin.
There's a
goldfish one. I like the goldfish one. That one's a little more expensive. Oh, that's a whole set, so it's actually not that expensive. But
I really like their armadillo also. It's an armadillo curled up in a little ball. That one's $8, but it's so well-crafted. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, Zane, why would I get such well-crafted soap that I know after, like, first time use, after it gets wet, it's going to start to lose shape? Well, I mean, you buy it for the admiration as a gift. But you also gotta understand that when you're using, like, where you're putting this armadillo in order to make yourself smell real good, like, I think it'd be uncomfortable after each use to see the armadillo not lose shape, and then you're done using it, and you look dead in the face of a fully intact armadillo, and you're like, why I keep putting you under my arms? Why I keep putting you, like, all over my body? What's happening? How are you feeling about this armadillo? You don't want to keep looking in the armadillo's eyes and being like, hey, I'm going to use you tomorrow for, like, the same reason. I hope that's cool. No, you want to see the armadillo slowly, like, this is my purpose, and I'm serving it. And all of a sudden, you've got a mutual respect for each other. It's like when you look in the eyes of a bunny, and the bunny doesn't say anything, but for some reason, you feel like you've connected on a spiritual level. It's exactly like that.
Yeah, I think if you got the dead fish one, after a couple of uses, it would kind of just look like a soap bar anyways, if that's your word. It would just look like gray soap. Same thing with the tongue.
Yeah.
The tongue is just pretty squareular.
But they genuinely have some fantastic ones. Like, they'll go anywhere from gag gift to it's actually very impressive that you have created this work of art. And I think that's another thing that's, and on a serious note, a good thing is seeing somebody's work of art both admired, acknowledged, appreciated, and also, to a degree, useful for somebody. Because I know a lot of people, when they collect art, or when they hear about people collecting art, would be like, what's the point of getting a painting that's like worth $1,000 is low, but whatever. Like, what's the point of getting a painting that's worth however much money? Like, because, you know, there'll be art exhibits that have paintings where they're like, this painting goes for like $1.3 million, and you're like, that's just a blue circle in the middle. What's the point of it? If I told you, you could also smell real good rubbing it all over your body, all of a sudden, I'll start thinking about it. Like, I'll consider it.
You lost me, but I did want to say that in case you haven't heard anything that you like yet, I'm looking on the website here, and there are 298 different options. So yeah. In case soap is like a stocking stuffer, or maybe something on the side, or maybe they're acquaintances and you don't need a big gift, there's one here that's just olives. That's great. Get them a set of 12 olives and be like, it's just a one-time use sort of thing.
I know you drink martinis. Here, your breath smells real bad. Here's the best both worlds.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different animals and birds and bugs and celestial. There's 100 celestial. I don't know what those are. Flower, plant, tree soap, and then body parts and things like that. They got a lot of stuff here. It could be a fun little gift as a last-minute holiday gift, which I... Oh, I found the armadillo.
Yes!
That's great.
Yes.
I love it. I love the armadillo.
Saying it again, just so everybody knows, Purple Hippie Shop, the Purple Hippie Shop.
Purple Hippie Shop. Yes, that is the full title.
They, you will know when you find them, because if it's soap, it's them. It's on Etsy. Go ahead.
That's their slogan. If it's soap, it's us.
If it's soap, it's me. If it's soap, I got
it's
you.
It's me. If got it's, you if it's soap.
If it's soap, you found me.
And thank you so much, Shane, for that bit. If you would like to give us some middle stuff, that would be glorious.
All right, very good. This middle stuff comes to you from Stinky Sink Boy. The middle
flip
stuff
the page on the script.
All right, sure. Now, Will has brought up a script that I'm going to be honest, I haven't looked at in about a year and a half. So
it was a metaphor, but you just go with it.
Okay.
We don't use scripts. We do not use scripts.
We have a Google Doc that I haven't looked at in like a year and a half, where he keeps all of his questions. I keep all of mine on my actual desktop in my notes, so that he can't read them ahead of time, because I like to surprise him. I like giving Will surprises. That being said, if you want to give us a surprise and send us a question, that'd be ever so lovely, because our podcast genuinely runs not only off of giving you a good time, a good morning, a good day, a good night, and everything else that that Harry Truman once said. We need your questions in order to keep it going. You know Harry Truman.
Don't trip up. Just
I think I said, yeah, okay, you know what? It is the Truman Show.
Don't let me be a stumbling
block. I don't
block.
Know if
keep,
he was Harry.
Keep running.
All right, I'm going to keep going. No take backsies. The Jim Carrey Show, let's just call it that. We're gonna. It's a good movie, Will. Stop getting tripped up.
Keep talking.
Our entire show genuinely also runs off of your questions, and we admire every single one, because not only can we give genuine advice, but we can also give genuine, just random banter about everything. So if you want to send us questions, you can send them to us directly if you know us. You can send them to our socials, or you can email them to us at saveyourbaconpodcast.com. saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm going to say it one more time for the GPSs out there anyway. That is saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. Wow, one more time for the luchadors. saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. Cinco, sábado, gigante, mañana. That took a wild turn. I'm just going to keep going. Thanks to Anchor.fm for being the place that is allowing us to make this podcast for free. We have used various places, but none like Anchor, because the fact that we can upload for free, we can actually see our analytics at the same time and see our wonderful $3.55 that we've made over the past 2 years, it just keeps us going in the morning. And so if you go over to anchor.fm/saveyourbacon, you can find our socials on there. You can find everywhere you can listen to us, such as Spotify, iTunes, Google, CastBox, and the like. And I'm pretty sure if you have an account, you can send us messages, voice messages, you can sponsor us. It is overall just the best place in the world to start a podcast, whether you want to do it professionally or as a hobby or as a way to just brighten your day every morning. So please, by all means, listen to this cool little song that I made about them. All right, Will, I got a good question for you. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, cool. I'm so excited that you matched my enthusiasm coming out of the middle.
Right. Yeah, I live to serve.
This question comes from the majestic Shish, and
And, control yourself.
And this question is, what the fuck is oatmeal? Like,
now hold on. I feel like we've had this question.
Nope. We just asked what the fuck is a lot of food. What the fuck's pizza? What the fuck? Where beans come from? Why? But this is oatmeal. And the question is thus. Like, seriously, what the actual fuck is oatmeal? Please. Guys. Please help. Everyone around me keeps talking about it like it's gold. Why do people worship it?
Who are, like, your friends? Are you 70?
Once again, that comes from the Majestic Sheesh. Please.
Who says this stuff? Our listeners suck. I'm convinced.
This is a good.
The most clueless brats on earth,
I like
you
that.
You have terrible friends.
Anybody
who think
that skips the middle
gold.
Stuff doesn't get any of the love and appreciation, only gets this.
This is the side. Yeah, you want Zane for all the love and appreciation, but if you listen too far after that, you get me.
Yeah, you need balance, because if I give you too much love, all of a sudden you're going to be too high on yourself. You're going to stop sending us questions because all of a sudden you've found spiritual nirvana, and all of a sudden you're too good for. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. What the fuck is oatmeal?
Zane, did you know, this is not me looking anything up, I know oatmeal facts.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that there are three general types of oatmeal that people consume, and it is based off of price, based on the quality of the oatmeal that you are getting?
Oh my God, wait, no, actually.
Yep. What? If you ever looked at Quaker Oats, there are usually three different kinds of oats that they will sell. Their most popular is the instant, because all you got to do is throw in hot water and you're good, right?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
When you get traditional, that's like their like normal middle ground, and you would think that, you know, because you have to like actually cook it and like boil it in water or whatever, and it takes a lot longer, that would be the highest stuff. Yeah. But actually, the steel cut oats are the highest quality ones because they have the least amount of nutrients that have been boiled out of it.
I've always wondered, because you seem to know a little oatmeal fact here. What the heck? Why? What is an oat made out of that you need steel to cut it?
Well, the idea is not that the steel cut name of it is like, it's not the steel that gives it the nutrients. It's the fact that in order to make instant oatmeal, they needed to like pre-boil it so that it accepts water really quickly. And so they like cook it before they put it in the box for you with instant oatmeal. And therefore, it has like lost a lot of the nutrients from the boiling process and then it drying out again. Like a lot of the nutrients like get sucked out with the water from cooking it the first time.
Oh,
so if you put the water in the steel cut, which is the least processed one, like the closest thing to like just an oat right off the wheat shaft, whatever. I sounded almost smart until I said that. Yeah. Then you will get all of the oat nutrients that you should be getting in the first place. Instant oats, it's just mush. It's nothing. You're not getting anything out of that. You're like, oh man, I'm being so healthy, eating oatmeal. Don't eat instant oats. Have the traditional, the old fashioned. That's what I should be saying. I think it's normally called
oat fashioned. That's amazing.
Welcome to Oat Fashioned, 2020 Met Gala Oat Fashioned.
That's the name of our Seattle podcast, Oat Fashioned.
Yeah. But yeah, weird oatmeal fact. That's what the different oatmeals are. Now, what is oatmeal? Weird tall plant. You grab the top, cut the heads off.
Weird tall plant. Very tall, very weird.
I mean, it is. It's beautiful. Have you ever noticed how beautiful wheat is?
Field
of wheat is magic.
This is going to sound dumb, but I've grown to admire and appreciate it thanks to Minecraft. And I know that sounds dumb.
I hate that.
I've seen it in real life. I know, I've seen it in real life, but like when you're stuck, because I know Minecraft isn't lo-fi music, but it's like, it's got this, it puts you in this environment where all of a sudden you appreciate everything that you're surrounded by, right? And so when I'm surrounded by my wheat farm and I start to actually appreciate wheat, and I'm like, oh, I can make paper out of you.
I will say that was a mistake.
I made a mistake. I done did a mistake. It's sugarcane that you can make paper out of, isn't it?
Zane,
oh, no.
Yeah.
I just
you
lost all the Minecraft view. Oh, no.
We just lost all of our Minecrafters.
No. Why I do.
Our analytics tell us that's a huge margin of our listenership.
Why I do this.
Goodness gracious.
I have to put out a whole 20-minute YouTube apology video now saying I done messed up.
Yeah, you called wheat paper makers. Anyways, yeah, whenever I would play Minecraft, the wheat was always the prettiest one. Definitely not the sugar cane.
Yeah.
Goodness. No. Anyways, So that's my take on what wheat is. Do you have any other further comments on what is wheat?
When they say what the fuck oatmeal, I have to agree
oatmeal.
In a certain degree. Because they say people talk about it like it's gold. I clearly understand that they do not mean as in rare as gold. They mean as luxurious or precious as gold. And
yes.
And I can agree with that to a degree. I'm going to ask you again, my oatmeal expert. What is the difference between oatmeal and porridge? This question has been on my mind for since I was a child.
I don't know the difference. I'm not 100% sure what porridge is. Do you know what cream of wheat is?
Yeah.
I feel like porridge is really close to cream of wheat. And that's just a complete shot in the dark.
I was
positive on my oat facts, but I don't have really much on porridge.
I've always thought because oatmeal quite literally looks like porridge, except different consistency. At least from my experience, they look the exact same. It's just different consistency.
Which is the same as cream of wheat.
But cream of wheat's more like genuinely fully like mashed up. It looks more like a pudding of stuff. I would say, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, we're not the oatmeal. We're not like oatmeal connoisseurs. It's not what we both just graduated college doing. I'm gonna say,
speak for yourself.
Oatmeal is to smooth peanut butter, as porridge is to chunky peanut butter. And that's like kind of a bad analogy, but what I mean by that is like just there's a thicker consistency to porridge. Would we say? Can we confirm?
I could not tell you.
All right.
I have zero porridge.
We're gonna run
experience.
With this.
Had porridge?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Love porridge.
Where do you get porridge from?
I'll explain. So
the more I say it, the less it sounds like a real word, not a real word. Also, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Porridge is like the only reason I know porridge is the Three Bears story, where that girl walks into a house full of bears and she eats three different kinds of porridge.
Yeah.
And I did look up is oatmeal and porridge the same? And oatmeal is a type of porridge, a type of oatmeal. This is
really so you are having porridge.
Wait a minute. The story goes deeper.
Chill
what?
Out, man. This is not the lo-fi rain podcast we asked.
Hold on. Not only is oatmeal a type of porridge, which is blowing my mind, a porridge is a hot cereal. What?
Oh, so it's just any hot cereal. So cream of wheat is also porridge.
A hot... Okay, you know what?
No, right. It's okay. So you've had porridge. It can just be any hot cereal.
All right.
I respect that.
And then it says, remember the nursery rhyme? Peas, porridge, hot? No, I don't remember that nursery rhyme.
No, not particularly. So yeah, I was going to say, the thing with what you were saying is that we're trying to help our question asker by telling them what oatmeal is,
yeah,
by explaining that it's similar to porridge, but the likelihood that they know a lot more about porridge if they don't know oatmeal is very low.
The reason I brought this all up, first off, I'm sorry that I've already answered your question by telling you that oatmeal is in fact a type of porridge, and I'm also sorry that is an answer that if I just said like, oh, smooth peanut butter is chunky peanut butter but without the chunks, and you'd be like, okay, but still, what the fuck's peanut butter?
Yeah. Well, no, you said it was a hot cereal, any kind of hot cereal, and so oatmeal falls under that as well.
So
it's
hot
oats,
cereal, yes.
Hot cereal.
So if you
hot oats.
Yes, it's hot oats, and the thing I was getting at
hot
with all
wet
of this,
oats, to be particular.
Yes, is when it says, when your friends apparently treat it as gold, the reason is if oatmeal is a type of porridge, I understand why they treat it as gold, because of the almighty dinosaur egg porridge. This is a great, great invention that still holds up to this day. Will, I kid you not, do you not know what I'm talking about?
Okay, get straight to it. Come on.
Oh my
Bring
God.
Me there.
So, it's a porridge that you would make filled with these dry dinosaur eggs. And when you added hot water, they would start to dissolve into dinosaurs in the porridge. And they, it was like a little bit of a candy treat within the oatmeal. And so it's like you're being healthy, but you're also being rewarded for being healthy. And as a kid,
you're not being healthy. No, let's just be clear.
Hey, when you're a kid and you have the highest metabolism known to man, you are allowed to do that. It's
that
so much
adds
better
up,
than
though, even when you're a kid.
So it, but it's better than waking up and being like, I'm gonna have that. I'm gonna have 3 cosmic brownies instead of 4. No, have the dinosaur oatmeal.
Because, I mean, that analogy is wild, but yeah.
You gotta think about it this way. Indiana Jones as a kid eats dinosaur porridge. All of a sudden, he's like, I'm gonna become an archaeologist. That's what this can do for you.
Whoa, another wild take. But you know what? We'll take it. Yeah, I hope that helps. Hot, wet oats from the wheat shaft.
Yes.
I hope that answers your question. Zane, I have a question.
Oh, go for it.
Hi, Zane and Will. My husband and I recently got married, so we've moved in together right before Christmas. I noticed immediately after us moving in that during the holiday season, my husband traditionally sleeps with his favorite animatronic light-up snowman within the room. It's so old, and it makes this weird squeaky noise. I'm losing sleep.
I don't know why it makes a squeaky noise.
I think it's like the metal pieces, just like, it's animatronic, so it like moves a little, I'm guessing. I'm losing sleep and patience, and we're only 3 weeks into marriage. Do I politely ask for him to change his lifelong childhood tradition, or do I just hand him the papers while I'm ahead?
Oh my god! Holy cow. Can I just say, you know, one of like the biggest fear for a lot of new couples that are like about to move in together, the first question I always hear is like, I don't know, like, what if they snore? Are you gonna be okay with that?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You move in, and you're like, by the way, if you snore, I'm okay with that. And they like take the smallest deep breath and they're like, okay, good. And then you start to go to bed and she's like, so do you snore? And you're like, no. And then she's like, wait, what are you doing? And you're slowly taking out an opened Amazon box that you've had for you brush the dust off and you just say, so, and she's like, what haven't you told me? And you start setting up an animatronic and she says, oh,
it's,
can you
it's
do
it's probably light up, it moves throughout the night,
she
it
says,
might sing.
She says, can you save that for the morning, I'm tired. And he says, yeah, so am I. this is the
I mean
thing.
There Will? Was when I was growing up there, I don't know, I think I asked for it for Christmas because I saw it at Target or something. Mm-hmm. There was this seal, and it was light up, and it had like a wire metal frame, and it was like 3 feet long, 3 to 4 feet long, and it would just like move its head back and forth. And somehow that was a Christmas decoration that I really wanted. I literally asked for it for Christmas. I was maybe 9 years old. I got it, and then every year after that, I'd be like, we have to set up the seal. And 1 year, the head broke while it was facing in a weird position. It looked like the seal's neck got snapped, and I finally decided to retire it. But it was hard. It was hard. I needed to tell them to, like, get rid of it while I was away at school one day because I couldn't bear saying goodbye. Yeah. Oh, man, I really liked seals back then, man. I get it. I get the snowman. It makes perfect sense.
It really is. It's like the day that you stop sleeping with a stuffed animal. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if it's a live being or not. There's something to familiarity that letting go of it is difficult. And so, yeah.
It's
like
letting go of a piece of your childhood.
And so I get that genuinely, because you said this has been a childhood tradition for this person, right? So mm-hmm. It's not going to be...
Well, now adulthood tradition,
yes,
let's be fair.
Yes, it's grown. It's not going to be as easy as, hey, could you like stop doing that? Because that's like... I mean, to be fair, marriage is, you know, about sacrifice. Wait, Will,
I got it. What? I got the solution.
What?
You need to buy him a bigger, better, animatronic, quiet snowman that it's like, you know, this is great and all, but this is a new start. This is you just got married. It's like a late wedding gift to your spouse of like, I know how much that snowman means to you. I got you one that's so big, it doesn't even fit indoors. We got to keep it outside. What do you think?
Interesting.
And he's like, oh my gosh, it's just like this one, except bigger and better, and now the world can see.
Also, here's a fun idea that comes from what you just said. Why not like... he face the window when sleeping and just put it out the window so he can see it as
just
he's
looking in?
Yeah.
But yeah. That's not the tradition. The tradition is not I'm getting stalked by Frosty, Zane. I have peeping Frosty in my window each night.
I mean, you know those classic movies like Peter Pan and whatnot where like you look out the window in hopes that like something miraculous is going to happen. For this person, they get to look out the window and know that there is something beautiful waiting for them every night. As opposed...
And you will get that if you get the big one. The other thing about the seal is that there was one year I remember putting the animatronic seal outside, but then I was afraid it was going to break because the snow would get... I know it's made to be outside. I understood, but I just didn't want to accept the fact that it will get more wear and tear by being outside. So if you get one that has to be outside in the first place, I think that's where this comes from. He doesn't want it to be outside because it's going to take too much wear and tear. It's already creaking. It's very old, clearly.
This is a very nuts thing to think about because the amount of time that we have spent not just saying, yes, you should sign the divorce papers right now is kind of wild because...
It is just one season a year. I'm sure I'm annoying like at least one season a year, you know? And my spouse, my future spouse, will have to deal with that.
This is how we sleep in the winter now, honey. I'm not going to lie, this whole time before mentioning the out the window thing... I have been imagining the animatronic in the bed. I have been imagining when he says he sleeps with it, I'm thinking the same way you sleep with a stuffed animal wrapped in your arms.
I'm thinking like he never got a dog as a kid, and so he put it at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
Like right on the floor where a dog, like maybe on a dog bed or something.
So it's equally looking towards both of them the whole night.
Yeah, it's kind of just like its eyes are right above the blanket level.
And so husband's
just
like
turning its head back and forth. Just
hey, honey,
judging your
let's
actions.
Like experience the miracle of like being together. And she's like, and
let
she looks at the animatronic, and the animatronic's just waving back and forth, like it's lighting up, and it's flickering, and it's creaking, and you're like, can we wait until spring?
Can we turn Frosty the other direction to consummate our wedding?
Can we turn Frosty around?
yeah. Hey guys, thank you so much. This has been a fantastic time. It's getting cold out there, and nothing beats the cold weather like a nice toasty podcast. You know, I was thinking about the rain thing. We would need to go somewhere different right now for that to be a thing. But I you know, we're going to workshop that. And by we, I mean I will, and I will pitch it to Zane. Hopefully he'll buy it. So hopefully that'll happen. Guys, this has been Save Your Bacon, an Advice Comedy podcast. I can't remember whether I'm supposed to say that at the end, but my name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
It's been a great time, guys. Take it easy. And if it's easy, take it twice.